0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Please gamble responsibly.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Graham Murty's defending Rangers transfer activity after criticism about offers for the likes of Jordan Jones and Greg Docherty. Brendan Rodgers says Celtic are a better team than last season, even if the league table doesn't agree. Stephen Naismith says football, not finances, were behind the decision to join Hearts. And we look ahead to a cracking weekend of Scottish Cup action in the company of Alex Ray, who's in for the snowed-in Derek Johnson, and the returning Mr. Keevans. Where in the world have you been?
I have been swanning around the Canary Islands for a couple of weeks, as old gentlemen do at this time of year. But I have a story to tell you later, when the words were uttered to me in Lanzarote Airport: could you open your suitcase, sir?
Now, you do understand that because you are old school, when you go on holiday, that means no phone calls, certainly no Twitter.
Yes.
Nothing like... people have been inundating this programme, asking where you are, asking if you're still alive.
Yes.
And so on. So we can put everyone's mind at ease.
I had two regular callers and listeners to this programme staying a matter of yards away from me.
They tracked you down.
And every day they were bringing me transfer news. So the power of Super Scoreboard was felt as far away as Puerto del Carmen.
And there we are. Alex Ray, you are a victim of the fact that you clearly drive a 4x4, and therefore you are the only pundit who could get in tonight in Derek Johnson's absence. But we're delighted to have you back.
Thanks very much.
I don't want
Bobby.
To make it sound like we were scraping
no,
the barrel
not
or anything
at all.
Like that.
Big DJ, Paulie's hamstring, reaching for the digestives today, apparently.
So you're off the bench.
Absolutely.
Right, let's do it. 0141 951 1025 to get in touch. And we're on Twitter at ClydeSSB as well. Loads and loads to get through this evening, I promise you. Let's start with Graham Murty. He believes Rangers have done nothing wrong in their transfer dealings this window. That's despite former striker Chris Boyd accusing the club of unsettling players from other clubs. Now, obviously, Boyd's closely linked to the Jordan Jones, his Kilmarnock teammate, who was the subject of a failed bid from Rangers. The Greg Docherty situation at Hamilton Accies keeps going at the moment as well. Now, the Rangers boss says Mark Allen has been influential in helping bring players to the club this month and has confirmed that Rangers have rejected an offer from Preston for Josh Windass.
Chris is entitled to his own opinion. As far as I'm concerned, we've handled it in an above board manner. We've gone to the club, we've made an offer. They are perfectly within their rights to say no. That's fine. We move forward. Either we will go and renegotiate or we will walk away. That is our prerogative. And it, just as it is the club who that player is at, it's their prerogative to say no. And as far as I'm concerned, everything that we've done has been above board and proper. Business is ongoing. There was a great deal spoken about in the press about we should do business a certain way, we should be getting this player, we should be doing this, and we just went about our business behind the scenes and made sure that when the time came to push the necessary buttons, we were ready to go. And Mark was very diligent. His group up there have been very thorough and very professional in preparing dossiers on each of the players that we're looking at. So we knew who we were looking for, we knew who we were targeting. So I'm very pleased so far with our relationship, and this is my first window. He's been a massive benefit to me. He's allowed me to concentrate on the group, but he's also allowed me to concentrate on a really, really important bonding trip to Florida to make sure that I can go and be on the pitch with the guys and make sure I'm around there giving them real clarity on my ideas while he's going about his business back here. And as far as I'm concerned in that regard, he's been really, really beneficial and actually invaluable. We had one offer from Preston that was turned down, and that's it so far. We've had inquiries about other players, but they're ours at the moment until that changes. That stays.
You can't be sanctimonious about the transfer market, whether it's the January window or the summertime window. Nobody plays by the Marquess of Queensbury rules. It's a murky old business. But what you do have to take into account is the Cuba Gooding Jr. principle: show me the money. So if Rangers want Jordan Jones, or if they want Greg Docherty, show Kilmarnock and or Hamilton Accies the money. And if they fancy it, you'll get them. And if they don't fancy it, you won't get them. And if you haven't got the money, you certainly won't get them.
No, it's very interesting. Listening to what you're saying about Mark Allen, their director of football, doesn't surprise me. That's the reason why they brought him in, to build up a network of scouts across various, England, Scotland, maybe some abroad as well. I feel as if they've gone for very safe options here. Reliable ones have went for Jamie Murphy, Russell Martin, Cummins, and the boy Goss, who's come in for QPR as well. So you look at these guys, for me, you know, they're tried and tested, they're established down south as well. Obviously Cummings doesn't fall into that bracket, but his scoring record up here has been absolutely brilliant. So it doesn't surprise me that he's got a good working relationship, because it takes the pressure off and lets him focus on the job at hand of trying to prepare the players for the coming weeks.
The pattern is clearly established, Gordon. Rangers have brought in a succession of players all on loan. There are two players who would require a fee to bring them to Ibrox. And as I say, it's perfectly straightforward. If the club, the selling club, find your offer acceptable, you'll get them. And if don't find it acceptable, you won't get them.
The thing is, Hugh, see going on to that point, what you touch upon there, that this has been going on forever and a day, that you put in a low ball offer, and as the coming weeks go, they try and raise it and then try and find a level of consistency. You look at Hearts, for an example, wanted £1 million for Walker.
Yeah.
You know, last summer, just gone. Then they settled for 300 grand 4 or 5 months down the line. So, you know, it works both ways, the selling and the buying clubs.
So Graham Murty, defending Rangers transfer activity, what do you make of those comments? What do you make of this bid for Josh Windass? Would you be happy to see him stay? And a bit of news coming out of Rangers in the last few minutes is that young striker Ryan Hardy has joined Livingston on loan until the end of the season. So give us your thoughts. 01419511025. We're on Twitter at Clyde SSB as well. Worth bearing in mind, gentlemen, that Fraserburgh against Rangers is going to be the subject of a 12 noon pitch inspection tomorrow to see if that game can go ahead on Sunday.
Well, Rangers would rather avoid, I am quite certain, a midweek trip to Fraserburgh if this game does not take place on Sunday, but it's out with everyone's hands. We're fighting Mother Nature here. If the weather's too bad, tough, the game will have to go off and Rangers will need to go there midweek.
Yeah, Alec, it's one of those ones where the Rangers team, you would imagine, will be, you know, aiming to travel up there tomorrow. So we should have a rough idea, certainly by lunchtime, whether that one's going to go ahead or not.
Yeah, absolutely. I was listening to Finlay Noble speak the other night, who's the chairman of up there, and he says the finances would help them redevelop the stadium, put some money back in terms of, you know, some works that need done, not necessarily going back into the team, but, you know, valuable money than which they'll need. And I'm not sure that Sky would then cover it again in a couple of whenever they reschedule match. So it's important that it goes on.
Just on that news that's just happened there, Alex, Ryan Hardy going to Livingston on loan. He's had a number of loans, of course, in the past. Been at St Mirren, been at Raith Rovers. Do you think any Rangers fans will be disappointed by that? Are there any who would like to see him have a bigger run in the team, or was this always going to happen with the arrival of Jason Cummings amongst others?
Yeah, well, Jamie Murphy can go and support up front as well. You've got Morelos, you've also got Cummins, as you said. So the chances of him getting a 90 minutes, and to be honest with you, Gordon, the last couple of months he's all had little cameos. The boy has to go and play football, he has to play on a regular basis, and I'm led to believe he's out of contract in the summer, so he needs to play and try and buy sell a contract somewhere if he doesn't get one at Rangers.
Okay, plenty coming up later on in the programme. We're going to hear from Jamie Murphy, we're going to hear from Brendan Rodgers. We've got a cracking weekend of football, some of those cup ties, St Mirren up there at Aberdeen. We've got a Lanarkshire derby as well. So much to get through, but let's get to the phone line. Stuart is a Rangers fan, he's in Shield Hall, and he's got Rangers on his mind this evening. Hi Stuart.
Hi, how you doing?
Not bad, how are you?
First time caller panel.
Oh, what made you call tonight, Stuart?
I'm just kind of fed up with the bad press regarding Rangers, with the transfer, the players that they're bringing in. There doesn't seem to be any positive thoughts there. It always boils down to negativity.
Give us an example, Stuart.
Well, I mean, there was something in the paper that I read about with Jason Cummins. So they're kind of slating this guy because he's came up to Scotland for Nottingham Forest, but Rangers, he was a player that Rangers were interested in long ago.
Who slated him?
It was just the press that I read.
Well, anyway, Hugh, for once, it can't possibly be your fault because you've not been here. That's all I'm happy about tonight.
It will come round to me eventually. But, you know, as I say, you can't be too sanctimonious about this stuff either. If you, Stuart, as a Rangers supporter, welcome the arrival of Jason Cummings and Jamie Murphy and Russell Martin and Sean Goss and everybody else, then that's fine. What do you care what other people think?
Well, I just think that these guys should be given a chance. I mean, I know Rangers have brought in a lot of duds before. It's not worked out for them. But Graham Murty's been a bit successful. He's been the manager that's went to Celtic Park twice and drawn with Celtic. you know. So I mean, that's.
Yeah, but you're asking for them to be given a chance. Of course they're going to get a chance. It's what they do on the park that will determine whether Rangers are encouraged to make their transfers permanent or whether Rangers are discouraged and let them go back to the parent club. But whatever people write about you, you know, I know that Brendan Rodgers, while I was away, had a little go at people for offering their opinion. But everyone has an opinion. You have one, Stuart, and for the first time tonight, and we're very happy to have you, you have phoned this programme. Everyone has an opinion. So if somebody thinks that Jason Cummings is not all he might be, so what? It's for Jason Cummings to answer that person on the park, because that's the only place where he can properly articulate himself. He can only show us what he can do as a footballer when he's out playing football.
Well, I'll tell you what, Stuart, just you hang there. We're going to hear from Jamie Murphy and I'll bring you back in for your thoughts. Jamie Murphy says he hopes the move to Rangers can elevate him back into the Scotland fold after joining earlier this month. The forward also stated he was disappointed not to make more of an impact in the English Premier League this season, but there was no way he was turning down a move to his boyhood club.
Yeah, absolutely. It's still something I'm aiming for. I mean, everyone told me I had to go down south and be successful to get in the Scotland squad. And obviously, I've been in squads but never had a cap, so it's up to me to come back up here and show that I deserve a place. And I'm obviously playing with Millwall every week, doing well, and never got called up, and everyone said, oh, you've got to go down to England, prove yourself down there, and then you get more caps and stuff like that. So I've done that and I've still not managed to get a cap, so it's about doing that again, coming back up, trying to prove to everyone that you deserve to be in there. It's still a big thing for me to try and play for my country. And if that happens, that means I'm being successful here. Yeah, well, I played five games, I think, in the Premier League, but I was disappointed not to get more of an opportunity. I mean, I trained hard every day. It just didn't seem to happen. So, yeah, the opportunity to come back up to Rangers was too much for me.
Stuart, is that one of the signings that you are excited about? You say that you think people have been a bit negative, so here's your chance then to tell us your thoughts.
Yeah, I think Jamie Murphy will be a great squad addition. I really do. I think he's done a really good job when he was at Motherwell, and unfortunately he's went down south and things haven't happened for him down there. So if he could resurrect his career at Rangers, then so be it.
I mean, the thing is, Stuart's probably offering quite a harsh criticism there. It certainly didn't work out in the English Premier League for Jamie Murphy, but before that, he was played all the time for Sheffield United and got a move for a couple of million to Brighton, got promotion. So not sure if it didn't work down south is wholly fair, although I do see where Stuart's coming from.
I remember when Alec came to Rangers and had a long conversation with him on the phone on the day that he'd agreed to join Rangers, and Alec's love for Rangers came across loud and clear. And I like that about players, whether they go to Celtic, Rangers or anybody else. If they have a real affection for that club, I think you've got a bigger chance. The one thing that just intrigued me about Rangers' policy as things stand at the moment: the League Cup's gone, Celtic won it again. Celtic are 11 points in front of Rangers in terms of the championship, so Rangers won't catch Celtic. So there's only one prize on offer then, and that's the Scottish Cup. So it's a good luck to them. Plenty of activity. It's activated the supporters. The gentlemen who were living beside me in the Canary Islands were getting more and more excited by those who were coming in.
That's reference number 4 of 1500 coming up to the holiday.
But as I say, either it's all about the Scottish Cup, or these guys have got from now until May to win themselves a permanent deal for Rangers, and could Rangers afford to bring them all in at the same time?
Sure, to add to that, I think it's important that Rangers actually get second place this year, you know, because of the money that they're doing, that they try and bridge the gap in some way towards Celtic. So that will be looked upon as progress.
Yeah.
You know, if they finish third on the back of the money spent in the summer and on the back of the additions alone this January, I feel as if they'd be like, where are we going as a club, you know? So I think it's important for them to try and focus on second as well. But you're right when you say the cup is a realistic option for them this year.
Stuart, how are you feeling about this game on Sunday? Are you one of those ones who's been going to be making that journey up there, or is it from the comfort of your own home you'll be watching it?
If the game goes ahead.
Well, there is that.
I know it's kind of in doubt. Obviously, I'm out driving at the moment in Glasgow, and I know it's, the roads are pretty treacherous and stuff. But obviously, it's different up in Fraserburgh. They probably might get a lot more snowfall than what we'll get down here. So if it goes ahead, then I'm pretty positive that Rangers will get the result that they need up there.
Alec, I'm looking back and I'm trying to rack my brains for your time at Rangers, maybe elsewhere. What was the biggest cup game you had in terms of being overwhelming favourites? I mean, you look at Rangers playing a team from the Highland League. I'm not sure if you had any in your time at Rangers, but this stage of cup competitions always throws up something, doesn't it?
Where you're either
huge underdogs or you're overwhelming favourites. Any that stick out at all from even across your time?
I would more so as an underdog, Gordon. We went to Arsenal one time and beat them at Highbury when I was at Millwall, which was probably, you know, when you look at the resources that they had at that time, Ian Wright and all that was playing, they were a very good outfit. We also went to Chelsea as well, so it was more so the underdog.
So how did Fraserburgh approach this one then?
It's batting down the hatches, I would imagine. You know, you go into these games and you never know. The fairy tale of the cup upsets, you would expect them to harbour some sort of hope of going through, but realistically I would expect Rangers to go through this relatively comfortable. But you never know what the conditions are going to be like, so, you know, it's a beauty of the cup, Gordon.
Just a reminder, we are going to have a noon pitch inspection at Bellesley Park ahead of Fraserburgh against Rangers. The pitch inspection coming tomorrow. Hugh, there are a number of great fixtures this weekend. We're going to hopefully touch on as many of them as we can. But for Rangers, being that one of the biggest teams in the country with all these new additions and going up to Fraserburgh, that's a classic cup tie right there, isn't it?
You know, this is the season in which Rangers lost to Progres Nidekoan in Europe. The worst result ever in the club's history. So you cannot say Fraserburgh have absolutely no chance, but Fraserburgh have got no chance.
I'm keen to get your opinions on this one. Brendan Rodgers says he knows Celtic are a better team than last season. Now, of course, the league table might not agree, and that's why some of you might not agree, but Brendan Rodgers is pretty sure, and we're going to hear from him after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Hugh Keevans is back from his travels. I know some of you were very concerned, but he's back and he's here, and as is Alex Ray. DJ Snowden, would you believe, Alex Ray, the ever willing replacement off the substitutes bench.
Keen as mustard.
It's all there. We've got it all set up and ready to go. Another hour and a half or so remaining. Plenty of football to get through as well. And I want to get your thoughts on this, because Brendan Rodgers says he knows Celtic are a better team than last season, even if the results haven't been as good. Now, the Hoops have dropped 15 points this term compared to only 2 points dropped at the same time last year. But the manager says there's more to it than that as far as he's concerned.
Proven in many aspects. I think that, you know, out in Dubai, having a look at the game that we played out there, you know, I was much happier at this moment than where we were last year, even though we'd made a really good start last year in terms of points and whatnot. There was a much clearer way in which we worked that I noticed last week when we were playing. So that's improvement for me in development. But and that's my main concern. You know, this is a coaching philosophy we have here, where people are here to improve and develop, and we feel within our staff and within the club there's players developing very well, young players coming through, and like I say, we hope to really attack the second part of the season, and with a lot less games to play, then for sure we hopefully get back to the intensity of which we've played most of the time we've played our games. No, I know we are better. Sometimes you may not have the points to show. And it's like winning and losing a game. You know, you might win a game but play really poorly, and then you might lose a game, haven't won and played or haven't played really well. So, but it's all about perception, you know. And my perception as a coach is that the team is developing really well, having 20 months together. So the aim is to keep improving in the second part of the season.
So Brendan Rodgers there obviously acknowledging that the points total is not as impressive this season, but he says, I know we're better. Do you agree? Do you disagree? What are your thoughts on that? 01419511025.
I disagree.
I thought you might.
As Brendan Rodgers said, it's all about perception. We've had Brendan's perception of how things are going, and as I say, everyone has an opinion and everyone is entitled to express that opinion. My perception is Dembele is nowhere near the player he was last season. Scott Sinclair was player of the year last season, hasn't looked like that this season. Armstrong had a magnificent season, But whether it's a combination of injury, fatigue, call it what you will, Armstrong hasn't looked the same player. Even Kieran Tierney hasn't looked quite the same player as he was last season. There have been, on the other side of the coin, people like Christopher Ayer coming in, and that is an undoubted plus for Celtic. But for me, pragmatism tells you that if you've lost more points than you did in the whole of last season, and we're not anywhere near the end of this one, if your performance levels at times have been able to be scrutinised, analysed, and at times criticised, then for me, Celtic are not stronger than they were last season.
Alec, I think it's fairly, it's quite easy to reach that conclusion, because I think most people would say, well, of course not, because the results haven't been as good. But listening to Brendan Rodgers, do you even understand where he's coming from? Because I'm sure during your career, think back to your time as a player, as a manager, there must have been times where you thought, do you know what, actually, we're a really good side, we're not getting the results that our overall performance or development, as he calls it, merits. Can you at least see the thought process, even if you don't agree?
But he'll be best placed to tell you where they were in terms of the year, in terms of the winter break and things. So, going back to what Hugh said there, in terms of, you know, if you look at the last 3 months or so, you know, performances haven't been at the level they were last year. Results, you know, I was at Kilmarnock at home, Hibs at home as well. So, the heart's away. I didn't see any of that last year. I had a perception of Celtic were steamrolling teams that were running over the top of them, and I don't get that at the moment. Now, he might have been over in Dubai and saying, right, okay, these guys are back up to speed here. But when you look at all the key players that Hugh mentioned, Griffiths, Dembele, Armstrong, Sinclair, Tierney's come off the boil a little bit. You know, that's, you can allow that all day long because he's young and he's played more or less all the games as well. There's been question marks about Lustig, who's, you know, been ever present. So as a group of players, they've just dipped a little bit. Now, I still think they'll have so much going forward, you know, in the coming months, because they have so many players and so many resources, and Brendan touched upon there that they don't have the same volume of games either. So, you know, he will feel confident that he can get them back up to that level.
Chris is in Nits Hill. Hi, Chris. You've just heard your manager speaking there. What do you make of those comments?
I wouldn't say we were better off. I personally don't see how we're better off in defence, that's for sure. But my main point was, really, it mentioned the other day about creativity, especially in the midfield. Now, we've lost Rogic for at least 2 months. I think Roberts is probably going to be out for the best part of a month as well. Armstrong's out. Griffiths has got an injury. I don't know how long he's out for. So that's a big chunk of the team that's out that do contribute to, you know, creating goals and scoring goals. I really would like to see us go out and get a number 10, you know, a creative midfielder. I keep hearing about this boy from Chelsea, Masonda, being linked and stuff. I mean, I don't know how much truth's in that right enough, but I really do think we've made a lot of money. You know what I mean? Even off the back of the Van Dijk deal, we've made a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I'd like to see us kind of push the boat a wee bit now and, you know, make a go of this Europa League as well. The Zenit team, they're going to be in their pre-season. So we've got an apple up. We've got a really good opportunity to beat Zenit and go off even further in this competition.
Yeah, I can imagine Brendan Rodgers saying, yes, you've mentioned all those who are injured, but you didn't mention Olivier and Sham, and Celtic paid £4.5 million to get them. You didn't mention Callum McGregor, who has been outstanding under Brendan Rodgers for Celtic. So this is not to suggest that Celtic don't have the players who will continue the job of winning the title, taking it to 7 in a row, and under Brendan Rodgers, they will continue to go forward. But where I do agree with you, Chris, for me, the one caveat I would introduce into all of this is that Virgil van Dijk's money is free money. £7.5 million worth of free money to Celtic. They've already made a 500 or 600% profit on Virgil van Dijk, because they bought him for a couple of million and sold him for 12. So they've already made a huge profit on Virgil van Dijk. The sell-on clause has got them £7.5 million. As you say, Zenit St. Petersburg are coming along. I don't think Celtic supporters are in the mood for another big score against their team in a European tie, whether it's Champions League or Europa League. And I think Celtic, with the free money, should be thinking about who they can get in of quality.
But is it not more, I don't think anyone's doubting that Celtic have money, Hugh. Is it not about trying to find the right value for that money?
Absolutely.
If Brendan Rodgers sat there and said, we don't have money to spend, then the argument you raise would be correct. But the money's there, but just not the right value for it at the moment. If you can't find the right player to buy, why would you go out and spend the money just because it's there?
I fully understand that, but I think the Celtic supporters would like to see a commitment to looking for that player or players and spending that money. Because as Chris the caller said, Celtic have made plenty of money under Brendan Rodgers. Two qualifications for the Champions League, they've raked in 60 odd million pounds. You get money for being in the Europa League as well. I just don't think the Celtic fans are in the market for another going over in a European tie, and especially against a Zenit St Petersburg side who will not have played competitive football for weeks. So the Celtic supporters, I think, are looking at the money and how much is spent with a more critical eye at the moment.
You want to come back in on that one, Chris?
I mean, I'll take issue with what you said about Ncham. Ncham's not a, he's not an attacking midfielder, Hugh. He's a sitting midfielder. I don't see how he can, although I do think he's a very good player, right enough, I'll add that. And Callum McGregor, I think he blows hot and cold. Against Rangers, he had two shots for about 40 yards out.
Yeah, but who played well that day, Chris? Only the goalkeeper.
Yeah. But I really do think that we should be pushing for a number 10. We've got to start scoring goals in Europe, and you're only going to do that with players that can open up defences. And just now, with Rogic being out, he's not been able to play. Roberts, I don't think, will probably not make this end of the game. We need somebody that can unlock a defence. And if we don't have that, then I just don't see us beating Zenit.
I would suggest to you, Chris, that it's not a number 10. It's solid defenders you need. You know, because they've all come along and taken plenty of goals off Celtic. And I know they're from a different planet, the PSGs and Barcelona's and all the rest of it. But I just don't think the Celtic supporters are in the market for another going over.
Thanks to Chris in Nits Hill. John Paul Monaghan says, not often I agree with Hugh, but he's spot on. Celtic haven't reached the standards they set last season. Too many players regularly underperforming. Hopefully the week in Dubai has recharged the batteries and we hit the ground running in the second half of the season. Back to the phone line. Stephen is in Coatbridge. Hi, Stephen.
Evening, guys. How are we doing?
Good, Stephen.
Not bad, Stephen.
Hugh, I was just listening to your comments. I've been listening to the start of the programme. Just your comments here about Brendan Rodgers and obviously, last season, but as we all know, was an exceptional season. So I'd just like to say to you, is Brendan, the rest of his tenure at Celtic, is it going to be classed success only if he beats the season before his points tally? Because I think that's a wee bit hard on Brendan Rodgers.
No, but last season
was exceptional.
No, Brendan's point was that the team is better this season. You're right, of course. You know, you can't improve upon a treble won without losing a game in any competition. You can't improve upon that. But that's not the point that Brendan Rodgers was making. He was saying the team, to use his word, his perception is that the team is better this season. And I think that individually and collectively, that's simply not the case.
In another way, what you're saying is Brendan Rodgers works with these guys every day, and I think he's more qualified than, I'm sorry to say, than yourself, you to say what improvements he sees in the team. You maybe know he works with them every day. He's at training with them every day. He sees the players. He knows the players inside out. And again, it will go back to, you know, the points tally. You know, Celtic hasn't been great. The last season was fantastic. But I think what's happening now, this season in particular, I think a lot of teams, letting Faris Sinclair and that go, as they know how to play Sinclair now.
Yeah,
I think that's more to do.
But you used
with
the
other teams.
You used the expression yourself there. It hasn't been great. Therefore,
it hasn't been as good as last season.
Well, there you are. That's the only thing that's up for debate. That was the question that Gordon Duncan threw out there. Do you agree with Brendan Rodgers that Celtic are better than they were last season? And you've just said no. You don't agree.
as far as points goes. But what I'm saying is Brendan Rodgers knows these guys inside out, how they're doing at training, and his way of and the way that he sees improvement is different from the way you see improvement. The way you see improvement in the rest of the media is Celtic's lost a couple of games, they've drew a couple of games, so they're not as good as last season. But Brendan Rodgers works with these guys. He sees the improvement he's trying to instill into these players to make them a better team going forward next season.
Stephen, can I ask you a question, buddy? See yourself, you obviously go and watch the Celtic. Do you actually believe individually that they're actually playing better? It's okay, but Brendan Rodgers seeing them on a daily basis and Shoe's giving your opinion. Do you think that the Celtic guys are doing better now?
There are some of the players, as I've said, that this season in particular, and I go with guys like Sinclair, Armstrong in particular, I don't know what's the matter with that guy. He signed a new contract, and as soon as he signed that new contract, his form took a massive dip. Sinclair, I think, a lot of defenders and all the other teams that are playing against us, they sort of know what he's all about now. They're sort of getting a wee bit tighter on him.
Does that mean that he's not playing at the same level regardless of who he's playing against? Is he at the same level? Because, you know, regardless of the defenders that he's up against, is he performing at the same level as he was last year?
If defenders are getting to know the way that your style of playing, what you're going to do, of course, that's going to affect his game, and he's had a poor season compared to last season. I'm not saying that every player for last season hasn't had a wee dip in form, but as far as what I do is I'll put my trust in Brendan Rodgers. Brendan Rodgers says he sees improvement in that team. And when I'm looking at it, there is games where I've said, well, I wouldn't have thought I'm playing for the start. There's been a few games I say that I couldn't really get my head around why he started with that player. But at the end of the day, Brendan's the manager. We pay him big money. He's done fantastic
To be fair to Stephen, is it the case then, so will we never, ever be in a situation where Brendan Rodgers can say that his Celtic side has improved? Because they are, I'm not going to say it's impossible, but it is unbelievably unlikely that they will ever hit the points total that they hit last season. So if that's the case, then if that's what we're using as a barometer, will they never have improved?
Within 15 minutes of the Scottish Cup final ending last May, on this programme, I said the Celtic supporters should stop now, savour the moment and consider what has just been done, because it will never be done again. Now, those who archive programmes and all the rest of it can go back and listen to that. It was said within 15 minutes of the cup final ending. But the other point I would make to Stephen and to everyone else, whether it's Brendan Rodgers, Graham Murty, Derek McInnes, Steve Clark, anybody, they can say what they believe to be the case, and good luck to them. They are in charge of their football teams. But it is still allowable to say, do you know what? I don't think that's right. Because we're free men as well, and we can say, I'm not sure that he's right when he says that.
S. Miller's on Twitter. He says, could it be because of how good Celtic were last season that other teams' improvement has been greater than Celtic's this season? Interesting question. Maybe get Hugh Keevans to answer that one after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly.
Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Before the travel, we heard from Brendan Rodgers. Lots of tweets coming in. Tam the Celt says, I believe this season has been difficult, mainly because of injuries at the start. Boyata was injured, then Yozo was injured, Dembele, Griffiths, Patrick Roberts, Rogic. We've barely had two out-and-out centre-backs all season. But John Strzelecki offers an alternative view. He says, other teams are improving. Naismith to Hearts is an example. It will get harder for Celtic now. Ali is in Clydebank. He's a Rangers fan. Hi, Ali.
Hi, how you doing, panel?
Not bad, Ali. What's your point tonight?
My point is, I'd just like to know, I'm a Rangers fan. I've followed them all through the third division, second division, and I know things haven't been great with us, but I'd just like to know what the panel's view is on the business we've done this transfer window. What do they think the chances is as Rangers getting the second spot and securing this, the second spot.
Second in the league, Hugh Keevans. Yeah. Aberdeen have it at the moment. People may have forgotten about that, I don't know, but Aberdeen are there at the moment. Ali wants to know if Rangers can leapfrog them before the end of the season.
Rangers are a club looking for a form of distinction. after years that have gone by since all of the administration liquidation business, they're now looking for something of a positive nature. To be honest, real Rangers men, and I always think of John Gregg sitting watching these matches, he's not counting the second division championship or the first division championship or the championship. Rangers are looking for a Scottish Cup at the end of this season. That would be something for the supporters to cling on to. And second place comes into that category as well. So that's why so many players have been brought in. That's why it's up to Rangers to show the money to Kilmarnock for Jordan Jones or to Hamilton Accies for Greg Docherty. But they won't beat Celtic to the title. Celtic will win that. Celtic have got the League Cup. So it's all about the Scottish Cup and finishing second, because if they don't finish second, then their own supporters will say, why didn't we finish second when plenty of money was spent on strengthening the squad under Pedro Caixinha, and plenty of players were brought in under Graham Murty? Why would Aberdeen, with a vastly inferior budget, finish up second and not Rangers?
Ali, you want to come back in? Ali, still with us?
Yes. There.
You want to come
back
in?
I'd just like to know, do they think we're in a stronger position getting into the second half of the season as what we were in the first half? Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, listen, Ali, I think they're in a far better position. You know, you look at it, they've got Jamie Murphy coming in, 40 games in a promotion winning team last year, which is a great return. Russell Martin, they need to get him up to speed, because he's he hasn't played a game, I think, since August.
That's right.
So, you know, it may well have been better business to try and get him in a fortnight prior to go over and play the couple of games in America with them, and they would give him a little game time. The boy Cummins has played a little football as well, so it's important that they get these guys up to speed. And I'm looking forward to seeing the boy Sean Goss. I've heard good things. He's technically very good with his left foot. Good background from Man United as well, so it'll be interesting to see what he brings to the table. So, but to answer your question, I feel as if they're in a far better position than they were at the beginning of the season.
Hugh, this is, I don't know whether I'm over dramatising this, because every team who's in the Scottish Cup wants to win it. I don't think that's a secret, and especially the bigger teams, Celtic and Rangers. But I just wonder, with the way things are going, if you can possibly put an extra emphasis on something, if you can, will Rangers be desperate going all out to win the Scottish Cup? Is that, do you think that's taken on an added importance this season at all?
I would say so, because as an earlier caller pointed out, Graham Murty's had two games against Brendan Rodgers over a two season period and hasn't lost either. So you would have to assume, I think, that if you want to win the Scottish Cup, you're going to have to beat Celtic to do it. And if it does come down to a Celtic Rangers Scottish Cup final, and were Rangers to win it, then it's a massive thing for Rangers, and it's a massive thing for Graham Murty, because I think that would get him the job on a full-time basis at Ibrox. So, of course, the Scottish Cup is vitally important, but I do believe if you want to take it off Celtic, you're going to have to beat Celtic to do that.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. When you consider, you know, but it's a big ask as well, because of the golf, Hugh. You know, I know the two games.
I mean, Aberdeen reached both cup finals last season, and I'm not sure we can just forget about them either.
No, listen, Aberdeen are formidable. Hearts have strengthened as well in the window. Stephen Naismith coming in. Hibs on their day can beat anyone. So, listen, there's a lot of good teams that will be getting into the round tomorrow and saying, right, we're going to go for a cup run. But going back to the Rangers thing, if they could actually wrestle the cup away for Celtic, then it would be a massive bonus. And Hugh touches upon a really important point. Over the coming months, it'll be the how Murty is gauged.
Yeah.
And if he gets second, will that be enough to secure the job long term? How he performs over that period as well, in terms of performances, you know, the home form has to improve. And then obviously they could get a Scottish Cup run.
Okay, thanks to Ali and Clyde Bank for his call. Bernadette is in Govan Hill. Hi, Bernadette.
Yeah, hi there. Good evening.
Hello,
hi,
what's your point tonight?
Yeah, it was a point I was making about Celtic's lack of transfer activity in the transfer window.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all know that Celtic are going to win the league, but this was the big window for looking forward to the Champions League qualifiers, which are going to come very early. So right now, we're looking at Boyata still being in the team when we actually come round to our qualifiers next year.
Well, Beata's one of them, Hugh. I mean, Simonovic is still there. Christopher Ayer is flavour of the month. I don't know, maybe that's an unfair description, but I mean, in recent times he's come into the team and Celtic fans are really enjoying what they're seeing. Marvin Compere has been signed, so what about the overall picture?
It's not possible to talk about Compere because none of us are qualified. None of us have seen him often enough or at all. Ayer, I think, is a real one for the future. And I think there is a pattern at Celtic where you bring them in for relatively small money. Virgil van Dijk being a glorious example. As I say, they've made a 5 or 600% profit on Virgil van Dijk and then got a £7.5 million sell-on clause to go in their favour. I think that's the Celtic way now. If they could turn Ayer into the central defender they hope that he will become, then, you know, they'd be looking to sell him for the Van Dijk type of money. But Bernadette touches on the point. The Celtic supporters want to see Celtic strengthen their squad, strengthen their team. And when they approach someone like Zenit St. Petersburg, they don't want any repeat of a Barcelona or a PSG. And Celtic need to be stronger defensively. As I say, there's no attempt whatsoever to say that, oh, Celtic better get into the market, there's a crisis. There is no crisis. They have a squad that's 8 points in front of Aberdeen, 11 in front of Rangers, has already won the League Cup, is in the Europa League. But that squad could be doing with a quality tweak or two.
Beat the pundits with Goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Thanks to Bernadette, the Celtic fan from Govan Hill. Beat the Pundit is just around the corner. Hugh Keevan's fresh from his warm weather training camp. Surely it's only fair we make Hugh Keevan's play Beat the Pundit, but he does need someone to take on. So if you want to take on Hugh Keevan's, then it's 0141 951 1025. That's the number to dial right now, and you could play Beat the Pundit after the news, Mr. Keevan's.
Well, in the second hour, I think I have to tell you about, please open your suitcase, sir.
I look forward to it.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly.
Hugh Keevan's and Alex Ray here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Lots more still to come. This might interest Celtic fans, Dundee fans and general football supporters as well. We're going to hear from Dundee manager Neil McCann talking about Celtic's interest in Jack Hendry. But before we do all that,
Beat the Pundit with Goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
It is time for Beat the Pundit, and I have no problem in admitting it's an old-fashioned stitch-up. There is no chance Hugh Keevan's is getting out of this. He's been away on his holidays. Alex, is that a tan? Is that what you would call a tan?
I don't know, it looks more burnt to me.
He's struggling a bit in that department. But nevertheless, he's been away and there is no way he's getting out of playing Beat the Pundit. He's going to be up against Barry McFadgen from Bells Hill. Barry, how are you?
I'm not bad, Gordon, how are you?
Yeah, good stuff. I hope I've not ruined your night by telling you it's Hugh Keevan's you're going to be up against. Is that what you were after?
Well, to be honest, I'm a guy for middle. Like, it's no bad playing on the radio, but when you're actually on there, it all changes, you know. But Hugh knows his stuff, so we'll see how we go on.
Well, he sometimes knows his stuff, but I'm wondering if that break away, because like I say, you're not a modern man. You're not the type who goes on holiday, sits by the beach on Twitter, keeps up to date with things. There is a good chance you have absolutely no idea what's been going on for the last 3 weeks.
Not a chance. My daughter sent me photographs of the grandchildren. I said, my phone is so old, it doesn't do photographs. So you want me to do Twitter on it? I can barely send a text message on it.
Anyway, Hugh Keevan's is here. He's going to play Beat the Pundit. Barry, I'm going to give Hugh some Clyde 2 in his ear. Make sure that he can't steal your answers. We'll get the clock lined up and we are ready to go. So Barry, it's 30 seconds head to head. Now you can pass. Here is your chance to beat the pundit, okay?
Hey, cheers, Gordon.
Let's go. In what year did St Mirren last beat Aberdeen?
2010.
Teams from which Eastern European country are reportedly interested in Anthony Stokes?
Russia.
How many times did Stephen Naismith win the Scottish Premier League with Rangers?
3.
Which current Celtic player started his career at Norwegian club IK Start?
Kirstenmaier.
At which English stadium would you find the Sir John Hall stand and the Gallowgate end?
Pass.
Which Spanish La Liga side are based in the Canary Islands?
Tenerife.
Okay. Let's bring Hugh Keevans back and see how he fares. Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Just enjoying some Clyde 2 there. I bet you've missed that while you were on your trip. Yeah,
up to the old Michael Jackson there. Very nice.
You ready? Same set of questions to you.
Go.
In which year did St Mirren last beat Aberdeen?
91.
Teams from which Eastern European country are reportedly interested in Anthony Stokes?
Poland.
How many times did Stephen Naismith win the Scottish Premier League with Rangers?
3.
Which current Celtic player started his playing career at Norwegian club IK Start?
That'd be Christopher Ayer.
At which English stadium would you find the Sir John Hall stand and Gallagate end?
Newcastle.
Which Spanish La Liga side are based in the Canary Islands?
Malaga.
Okay. Barry, how are you feeling about that?
I think he's just pimped there.
I think it's going to be close. Let's go through them anyway. In what year did St Mirren last beat Aberdeen? It was actually 2011. Nigel Hasselbank scored the winner, for anyone who may remember that fixture. Teams from which Eastern European country reportedly interested in Anthony Stokes? It is Poland. So the first score on the board goes to Hugh Keevans. How many times did Stephen Naismith win the Scottish Premier League with Rangers? It is 3. So well done, Barry, you got that right, but so did Hugh Keevans. Christopher Ayer started his career at IK Start. You both got that right, so it's still 1 to Hugh Keevans. And this is where it went downhill for you, Barry, because he was on the money. Sir John Hall stand and Gallagate end both found at St James's Park. So he takes a 2-goal lead. And even if you'd got this one right, it wouldn't have been enough. Which Spanish La Liga side are based in the Canary Islands, Alex?
Tenerife.
It is Las Palmas.
Oh.
There we are. Barry said Tenerife as well. So there we are. It is Las Palmas. So overall, a 4-2 victory for Hugh Keevans. Hard lines, Barry.
Oh no, excellent. Well done, Hugh.
Good Thank stuff. You, Barry. Good man.
Thanks for taking part. That was Barry McFadden from Bells Hill. So not too rusty, given you've been away.
No, see? It's all knowledge is the bottom.
Now the thing is, I've actually got a friend, Hugh Keevans. I think you can tell already I'm lying here, but I'm going to say I've got a friend who works in the airport in Fuerteventura. Yeah. And I understand you were the cause of a rather interesting security scare, right? Explain yourself.
Here's the pitch. I'll do this very quickly. I am coming home yesterday. I have 2 suitcases, Alec. I've got the big one to go into the hold, and I've got a smaller one to go in the overhead locker on the plane. So before I leave, my wife, who is still out there with grandchildren, said, look, you know the airline I'm coming back with. They're very strict on the weight of your luggage. Open that little case. I'll put this in. I'll put that in. I'll put the next thing in.
So are we talking pants, dresses, bras?
Yes.
Okay.
So I get to the airport. I put the big one into the hold. I then go through the security check, and the smaller suitcase goes through, and they have the examination of it. No problem. And I think, wow, good. So I'm getting everything adjusted, and I turn around, and a man says, British? And I said, Escocia. He said, yeah, how long have you been here? And he gives me the full shakedown and says, sir, can you open your suitcase? And I thought, oh no.
So this suitcase is full of women's clothes.
Yes, correct.
Women's underwear.
Yes.
Women's accessories. And you have to stand there in yes. front of the public and expose yourself.
And in a manner of speaking. But as I said to Alec, it was a case where 2 men looked at each other and went,
where do you get your pants from?
And we just zipped the case shut again, and I walked off, and my only source of satisfaction was that there was not a Super Scoreboard listener standing behind me in that security check.
Alex, are you believing that?
Are you sure he's with his wife?
Are you believing that? Not in a million years. That's just your
That's
holiday
brilliant,
wardrobe.
Brilliant.
At least we've had an insight into that. Anyway, James is in Byers Road. What's on your mind tonight, James?
Good evening, Gordon. Good evening, Alex. Good evening, Henrietta. I mean, you. Scottish Cup weekend. All the hopes of maybe a lot of clubs. Well, you've mentioned Rangers and Aberdeen. That's maybe their most viable chance of a trophy. Then you go doing the leagues. It's been a long time since this will be at Hampden. What, 15 years? So just see what the panel see any shocks. Hopefully not at Palmerston tomorrow if it's on.
The beauty of this stage of the Cup, Hugh, is this is when everyone can still dream, can't they?
Sure.
Absolutely. And James is a Partick Thistle fan. That fixture probably has the old banana skin feel to it away at Queen of the South, doesn't it?
It's not a novelty confined to Scotland, you know. I mean, I watched Newport County and Leeds. These things happen. But for me, bottom line is, if you want the Scottish Cup, you're going to have to rip it from Celtic's hands, because they will not give it up without a fight. So whoever it is would, in my estimation, need to beat Celtic. And with the best will in the world, I don't see Partick Thistle being that team.
Alex, starting tomorrow though, before I bring James back in, is that a tricky one if we just look at tomorrow's fixture rather than worrying about the big picture?
Well, it's always difficult on the AstroTurf down there. Stephen Dobie's in fine form this year. You know, I think he got the player of the month last month as well. I think it's 20 goals or
20
so.
Already,
so on
yeah.
his game, he's a match winner. Partick Thistle looking to progress, but it's one of the ties that you look at and you think there may well be an upset there, but again, you can dream, God, and that's the thing. The great thing in the early rounds is you just want to try and get a little bit of momentum, and it can also help your league form as well, you know, a little bit of confidence.
You know, we've seen the League Cup, for example, before Brendan Rodgers got here. The League Cup was like past the parcel.
Yep.
You know, Ross County were winners, Kilmarnock were winners, and St Mirren were winners. It tends not to be that way with the Scottish Cup. And as I say, now that Brendan Rodgers is here and currently holds the Scottish Cup, you're going to have to fight tooth and nail to get anything out of Celtic's hands.
James, is it a particular concern, I think, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, you have to go back to August, don't you, to find Partick's last away win?
Exactly, it's definitely something he's addressed, as Alex touched on there. It's a chance to maybe get a bit of confidence back on the road. The home form's result-wise pretty good, but I think the last time we won was 3-0 in the Cup at St Johnstone, which would be a great result. So it's a tough game, but the thing is, with the old artificial surface, but this time of year it's actually maybe a benefit rather than the sort of chewed up pitches you might have encountered, you know, at a lower league side. At least it's a level playing field, you know, once it is cleared and playable. So
I suppose for you, James, as well, you'll be looking at that team sheet as soon as it comes out tomorrow and welcoming back, you would imagine, a couple of injuries that have cleared up over the winter break. Thistle were one of those teams that just really needed that break, didn't they, to get a few key bodies back?
Definitely. We hung in there. I think most Thistle fans were beat off the bottom with the problems that we've encountered, and then balancing the squad is really, we're back in it. So hopefully, like you, they've recharged their batteries and sorted out all the luggage and that, and they're all looking forward to kicking off again.
On that note, actually, Michael McGill's just tweeted to say glad Hugh, and I'm just making sure I can make this joke, glad Hugh wasn't coming back from Bangkok. So I think we're alright. I think that one's okay.
Listen, it's a perfectly true story. The poor woman just wanted her extraneous luggage carried back home by her husband, and she wasn't to know, as she now suns herself in the Canary Islands, that a man was going to say, "Sir, could you open your suitcase?"
There are lots of tweets coming in about this. Likely story, Hugh by day, Harriet by night. There we are. I knew we would get the rumour mill going. Thanks to James, who's a Partick Thistle fan. He's given us his thoughts ahead of that game at Queen of the South in the Scottish Cup tomorrow. Like I said before, Beat the Pundit, this one may be of interest particularly to Dundee fans, to Celtic fans as well, because Neil McCann today confirmed there is interest from Celtic in Dundee's young defender Jack Hendry, but he's not aware if a bid has been made by the Hoops at the moment. Now, the 22-year-old only joined the Dens Park side in the summer from Wigan, but McCann says it would take a hefty fee for the club to even consider moving the defender on.
Yeah, I'd be lying if I said there wasn't interest there. I know there's interest. I know there's interest from a number of clubs, so it's just really, as it stands just now, we've not had anything that's turned our heads whatsoever. And in terms of bid, I think they've shown an interest, but there's not been anything there. We've got a number of players that have caught the eye of a lot of clubs, I would imagine. But Jack has come onto the scene here. I'm really pleased at how he's progressing. But like our team, he's got a long way to go before he's with a finished article. But it need to be a handsome sum to take Jack Hendry away from us. I'm not in a position where I'm just going to sit here and let my players go freely out the door with a pat on the back to say, we'll just accept. No, it has to be enough that the club is rewarded for finding Jack, bringing him here, giving him a platform, as we've done with all the players, to go and express themselves. And
you know, if they make mistakes, no, I'm not going to hound them for it if I'm asking them to play it. So I think that's highlighted a number of players here in their quality. So again, it'd have to be a big fee to let Jack Hendry go from this club, because he's a part of something that I'm trying to do here.
So Neil McCann confirming Celtic definitely interested in Jack Hendry. I think we've known that for a while, but obviously Neil McCann coming out and saying it. Celtic fans, is that one you would like to see your club go after? Yes or no? 0141 951 1025.
Classic piece of manager speak there. First of all, Neil says he's got a long way to go before he's the finished article, and in the next breath says, oh, it'll take a big sum to get him. You know, if he's a long way from the finished article,
both can be true to an extent, can they not? It depends what you mean by big sum.
Not at the same time, they can't. You can't have a long way to go to be the finished article and also be the type of player that you would need to pay a very large sum of money to get. That one statement contradicts the other.
Well, the interesting thing about that was, he says his knowledge, he didn't think there was a bid. And I was speaking to someone today who says that there has been a bid here, and also there's interest from Premier League clubs. Crystal Palace and Bournemouth are showing an interest as well. And this boy, it was a guy who represents the player, and he says that he feels as if he can go on to an even higher level just because of the type of player, a modern player playing for the back, comfortable.
What do you make of him as a player?
I've only seen him a couple of times this season, Gordon. And the first one where he had a clash at the post at Hearts, he came off at half time. He was relatively comfortable in the game and on the ball. And then I seen him another game. And I've got to be honest with you, I didn't see what the actual attraction was in terms of the Premier League. So, you know, again, I agree with Neil on that aspect, that there's still a lot of development for him to get to the level required.
Alec touched on it earlier on, where clubs will go in with a low fee, deliberately go in with a low fee, which is always described as derisory. And then we do all the war dances and we finally get to the right sum of money. Or conversely, you can start off by asking for a sum of money which makes everyone think you're kidding, and hope that it will come down to the level that you were always thinking of in the first place.
Paul is a Celtic fan in View Park. Paul, is Jack Hendry one that you have taken a particular interest in? Is it one you would like to see come to Celtic, or have you got other priorities at the moment?
Look, if I'm honest, I've not really paid much attention to that one. I'm more phoning up because I feel as if it's been a bit, not negative from yous in particular, but just negative towards Celtic in general. Yeah, okay, it's not been as good as last season, but it's an invincible treble winning season. As we stand just now, we're, what, 5 games away to a possible treble again? Because obviously I think we agree that the league's in the bag, so I don't really get the whole downheartedness. I don't think it was ever going to be as good as last season. And I just think that some of our own supporters need to sort of lay off the players and learn to back them a bit more, you know what I mean?
I think you're making more of it than it warrants, to be perfectly honest. I mean, if a man says, I think we are better than last season, and another man says, I'm not sure that's true, what's the big deal here? You know, you're entitled to an opinion. And as I've said, last season was extraordinary and will never be repeated by any club in this country for the remainder of time. A treble won without losing any game at all. So I fully understand that last season was unique, extraordinary, use any word you like. But it's perfectly allowable to say, well, I don't think Celtic are as good as they were last season.
Yeah, because Paul, you'll have noticed, I think you did allude to it at the top of the call, to be fair, that it's, in many occasions, it's your fellow Celtic fans who are calling in saying they're frustrated with the January window. I take it you're not one of them then, you're sort of happy with the way things have been going so far?
I can always want to improve, obviously, but I think you miss, I'm not mourning about a difference of opinion that Brendan Rodgers says, it's more about our own supporters.
But again, your fellow supporters are perfectly entitled to.
Oh, definitely.
I don't think he's saying they're not entitled, though, Hugh. He's just saying he disagrees.
Yeah.
My own opinion is, I was born in 82. Didn't win the league properly to 97. Obviously, can't really remember 88. And a lot of supporters are in the same boat. I think we've just developed a wee bit of a prawn sandwich with a good, where we just need to settle down. And realise that
smile came over Hugh's face there when, because someone can't remember 88.
No,
obviously,
no,
I can't either, but
I
Hugh.
Know, I was a bit young to remember.
I agree, but Hugh's just laughing because
title,
he's seen them all.
My first league title I can remember properly was 97, 98. You know, I had to endure a lot of bad times. For me, this is a very, 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 very good time. So I don't really see the overall negativity.
But it's not negativity. It's a free country with people having an opinion in something.
Yeah, but that opinion can still be negative, Hugh. Paul is not saying that the other fans aren't entitled to it. He's just saying he has a different opinion.
Well, and as I've said, I will stand by his right to have an alternative opinion. But I don't see where you criticise people who also pay their money to get in for having an opinion that's contrary to yours.
He has not criticised them for having that. Bring back Fraser Wishart. Where is he? Get him on the phone.
You'd miss me.
Thank very much to Paul in View Park. We're going to get these to a full-time teaser and hear from Stephen Naismith next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly. Clyde One. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Top tips with Ladbrokes. Download the app now. Please gamble responsibly.
It is that time on a Friday night when we are joined by David from Ladbrokes. David, it's Scottish Cup action tomorrow, so let's go through some of the big games. I won't ask you to go through them all. Starting at lunchtime tomorrow, Aberdeen against St Mirren. Any chance of an upset in that one?
Yeah, nobody expects St Mirren to put Aberdeen out of the state of the competition. But so far, I mean, the pressure, you know, nobody expects St Mirren to put Aberdeen out of the state of the competition. So for me, the pressure must be on the Dons, because the Saints go into this match carrying some really good form of Blake Gordon. It's 1-3 Aberdeen, 7-2 the draw, massive 15-2 for St Mirren.
Now the big 3 o'clock kickoff in Glasgow certainly is Celtic against Brechin City. Celtic fresh from their trip to Dubai. Brechin have had a torrid time in the league this season so far. How do you see that one going?
Celtic are 1-40, it's 12-1 the draw, 66-1 for Brechin to get something from this game. And let me put that into the odds into context for you, Gordon. If you decide you wanted to put £40 on Celtic to win this game, you're only going to get £1 back for your stake. So we tend to see customers looking at alternative betting opportunities like the time of the first goal. So for Celtic, between 1 and 10 minutes, 23-10, a very attractive price is between 21 and 30 for Celtic to score the first goal, was 4-1. Hat-tricks, it's always something looked at. Lee Griffiths 5-1, Moussa Dembélé is also 5-1, but it's looking like it's going to be all green and white tomorrow on Celtic.
Now another game we're keeping our eye on is the all top flight clash between Kilmarnock and Ross County. That looks like a relatively close one on paper.
Steve Clark has gone into this and done an unbelievable job since taking charge of Kilmarnock, and he'll have his sights no doubt set in a nice wee cup run. But Ross County have beaten Killy in their last two outings to Rugby Park, so they're not coming down all the way Dingwall from nothing. It's 11-10 for Kilmarnock, 2-1 a draw, 23-10 for Ross County.
Now the Lanarkshire Derby at Fir Park, these teams met in the league not so long ago. It was quite a feisty encounter. What about this one tomorrow?
Motherwell will want to forget all about the last Lanarkshire Derby, that's for sure. But they don't have great form in the Scottish Cup, having won only one from the previous five. That will give Hamilton some much needed confidence going into this game. It's Motherwell 5-4, 2-1 the draw, 21-10 for Hamilton.
And on to Sunday's game, of course, then, weather permitting, Fraserburgh against Rangers. On paper, these teams miles apart, of course, in terms of the leagues that they play in. How do you see that one panning out?
On odds, Gordon, they are miles apart as well. It's 40-1 Fraserburgh, 12-1 a draw, 1-20 Rangers. Whatever happens in this game, it's going to be a massive occasion for the Highland League team, that's for sure. Graham Murray won't be wanting to risk any upset whatsoever, not that we anticipate that happening. 4 or 5 goals to the Gers, quite possibly.
And we round off the weekend with an absolute cracker, an Edinburgh derby at Tynecastle, Hearts against Hibs.
Yeah, Hearts have drawn the last 4 home matches against Hibs in all competitions, but the Hibs will be looking to the fact they are now undefeated in their last 9 matches against their City rivals. It's always a great encounter. I'm looking forward to this one immensely. Hearts 15-8, 19-10 a draw, 29-20 for Hibs.
Okay, thanks to David from Ladbrokes. Same time next week.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hugh was expressing his feelings towards the previous caller, and Peter Maley has tweeted in to say, Hugh, he's not criticising him, stop getting your wife's knickers in a twist.
Ah,
there we are. So if anyone missed that story, that's because Hugh Keevans had been sent home from his holiday with a suitcase full of his wife's clothes, which, or so he says, which then got opened at security. Everyone
could
see
the truth. And a man is ridiculed for telling the truth. But anyway, the bigger man knows that it's a true story.
One of the biggest, I suppose you could call it that, pieces of business so far has been Stephen Naismith to Hearts. We're going to hear from him in just a second. But before we do that, let's set the full-time teaser. It was sent in by Dale Handley, and it's relatively simple, I would say. It says, since 2000, 13 managers have won the Scottish Cup. Can you name them?
McLeish.
So I'll take a couple.
O'Neill.
McLeish and O'Neill, will take two from you if you've got any, Hugh, at the moment.
Well, Brendan Rodgers, obviously.
Difficult one to kick you off.
Scottish Cup, John Hughes.
Okay, so we've got four of the 13 so far. I'm sure there's a couple that might catch out, but I think we will get there before the programme finishes. Let's hear from Stephen Naismith, shall we? He says that football and not finances is what behind the decision for him to move to Hearts. The Scotland forward signed on loan at Tynecastle until the end of the season and could make his debut in the Edinburgh Derby on Sunday against Hibs. And Naismith also says it was good to feel wanted.
They were the first ones that Norwich had said had agreed, and if it was something I would be interested in, but also their enthusiasm to get a deal done. And then on top of that, I've worked with the manager before when I was last in Scotland. The transformation in terms of training facilities to the new stand that we're in is exciting times for the club, and to be part of that with the youngsters coming through is something that I felt ticked all the boxes for me. I'll not go into specifics or anything like that, but the main thing for me when I was moving in January was mainly about football. It wasn't about finances or anything like that. I've been fortunate that I've had a successful career and done well, better than I ever thought I would. But as you get older, the priorities are definitely about playing football, because inevitably there is one day you're going to wake up and you will not be able to play football again at a professional level. So, and also when you're getting older, there's so many other factors in it, but I think I've made the right choice.
Always strikes me as a very sensible, level-headed man, Stephen Naismith, freely admitting that he's made his money out of the game and that this was not about cash. I think a lot of people thought he would go to Rangers. Rangers appear not to have been all that bothered about him. If Rangers were not bothered about him because he left the club in 2012 when it was about to descend into a shambolic state, then I think, again, that's been sanctimonious. And if you want to be sanctimonious, then you might regret it at a later date.
I think it's a good piece of business for Hearts. He brings a lot to the table. He defends for the front. His goal scoring record's pretty okay. You know, he's managed to score goals. I think he's 17 or 18 for Rangers one year, if my memory serves me right. So if he gets the service, and I think it's very refreshing to see it's a football decision. A lot of people are in it, and it's okay saying that, because I'm led to believe he's on £50,000 a week. And I think between the players actually subsidising the wage, as well as Hearts, I think it's 10 grand going back to them as well. So it makes sense that they're struggling to score goals. Defensively, they're doing very well as well, Hearts, at the moment. So if they can get the top end of the pitch, the business end of the pitch sorted, then obviously that would be a nice little combination.
Cracking weekend ahead in the fourth round of the Scottish Cup. Some brilliant fixtures. John is a St Mirren fan. How are you seeing that game going tomorrow, John?
I actually got in here by accident. I actually phoned up earlier on to complain about your quiz, a question, but I think I get the question wrong. Is it Jerry?
John, you can call me whatever you want. Most people call me Gordon, but...
Gordon, that'll do then. Right, Gordon, whatever you want. I thought the question was, when was the last time did St Mirren beat Aberdeen? And that was, of course, that was 2013 in the quarter-final of the Cup.
John, the man who makes these questions up is telling me that he meant over 90 minutes. But he should have said that, John, shouldn't he?
Oh, he never said it. He never stipulated. When was the last time? Oh, so I was right then. The last time they did beat them was not 2011, you said, or something.
Yeah, that was over 90 minutes, and you're right. You did beat them in penalties in 2013.
Anyway,
there you are.
You're wasting time. Hurry up.
That's it. Oh, wasting time. All right. Oh, I'm on a limit here. I'm not a Rangers Celtic supporter, so I'm on a limited time then. Right.
John, you can have as long as you want. How are you seeing the game go tomorrow?
No bother. Well, I don't know. We're obviously confident because we're flying now. We're top of the league, and you know, with Cammy Smith here playing out his skin, you know, an unsung hero with St Mirren just now, and he was rejected to Aberdeen, so we've got him, thank goodness, and he'll have something to prove against him. We've got a couple of players, I don't know whether they're eligible to play. We've got Mark Hill on loan from Celtic. Whether he's cup tied or I don't really know that.
Nope.
You know,
he's fine.
He's available. He might be on the bench then, you know. Ryan Flynn, a couple of midfield players, you know, can strengthen the midfield. But although the midfield's playing out of skin, Stephen McGinn in particular, you know, his 100th game last time, scoring a magnificent goal, and you know, so against a bogey team, Dumbarton. So, I mean, the priority is obviously to win the league or to get in the playoffs at least, you know. But the cup, we always look forward to cup ties. So we've beaten Aberdeen before. So why
in 2013?
Do it again in 2013? Correct. Yes. So we've got Lewis Morgan's flying as well. But a lot of teams now are getting to fly for him, and they'll put two or three players on him, kind of thing. But that leaves up space for other players to nip in, you know, and take advantage. We Gavin Riley scoring for fun. Marvellous wee player as well. So the whole team's ticking over great just now, you know. So playing as a team, you know. So
yeah.
So I think we could actually if we repeat of 2013, it could go to penalty kicks, extra time penalty kicks, you know. So
well, the other thing you have to factor in is Aberdeen, like the rest in the Premiership, have been off for 2 weeks.
Aye, they'll be softened up with the weather there, and they'll get a total culture shock when they come back to Aberdeen and see what kind of weather we've got here just now.
The thing is, Hugh Keevans, you talk about Aberdeen, you know, there's a bit of a joke there saying that they'll be out of practice or rusty or whatever, match sharpness, but they could also say they're nice and rested, and any players that were carrying niggles.
Listen, we're back to perception and opinion. My perception is that Aberdeen have a better team than St Mirren and will win the match. That's my opinion. If I am wrong, you can get me here at 5 o'clock tomorrow. But I just think that Aberdeen are stronger.
You can see why people are looking at that fixture, Alex, because and obviously Aberdeen are favourites. They're second in the top flight. But just because of how St Mirren are going, that is one that's definitely of interest tomorrow.
Absolutely, especially if you're a St Mirren fan, you've got to be with a lot of confidence. They're on an unbelievable run at the moment, St Mirren, and John touched upon more or less the whole team there and who's doing well. Gavin Riley, Morgan, Cammy Smith. So if you can get all the guys on top of the game and catch Aberdeen on an off day, that has potential to be a banana skin.
Right, let's give you some names, eh?
Oh, okay.
Alec McLeish.
I want to talk a bit more about this game first before we do that. Right. You're going to get them, plenty of time. Look at the clock. Absolutely. Alex McLeish and Martin O'Neill, Brendan Rodgers and John Hughes. You've already given me four. You're going to absolutely scoosh this. Just before we move on, because I do think it's a fixture that deserves it, Hugh Keevans. Niall McGinn coming back for Aberdeen, of course. I wonder how keen he'll be to hit the ground running. As the caller mentioned, a couple of signings for St Mirren whilst they retain the services of Lewis Morgan for now.
It's the second most attractive tie of the weekend. I think the Edinburgh Derby wins hands down for me. Fantastic occasions. Hibs having failed to lose to Hearts in the last 9 Edinburgh derbies. I really look forward to that one. Aberdeen St Mirren comes next for me because Rangers and Celtic have walkovers against Fraserburgh and Brechin City. So yes, it's a great tie. Yes, I still factor in the fact that it might take Aberdeen a little while to get back in their stride. St Mirren have had an unbroken playing record. Aberdeen have been off for a couple of weeks, but I still think the quality is there within the Aberdeen side, sufficient to beat St Mirren. And Jack Ross will now have a big smile on his face because I've said that.
Motherwell Hamilton's a good tie as well, Gordon, your hometown. So, you know, that'll be one that'll be looking with interest. And a lot of the clubs will be thinking they get an opportunity to progress within this. And yeah, I agree with you. That's probably the second best, Aberdeen St Mirren, and you've got that derby match. But you know, it's always
Sunday.
Do you know the thing is, Gordon, as a player as well, it was always brilliant. Gave you a wee bit of respite. It gave you an opportunity to go and play something that was a one off, rather than worrying about points or whether you could, you know, pick up your form. So it's a free hit. And I actually feel as if it's a shot in the dark for St Mirren. They will go there tomorrow thinking we've got a great chance of going through here. And then if they don't go through, no one would expect any different, and they can go and concentrate and win in league.
We are looking for the 13 managers who've won the Scottish Cup since 2000. I'll get the guys' answers in, or some of them, in a second. Let's speak to Mark in Partick. Hi, Mark.
Hi, how you doing? Welcome back here.
Thank you, Mark.
It's just a couple of points. I want to ask you one, and I want to ask Alex Ray one. It's just the transfers going on. Kenny McLean going to Norwich for $500,000, when Aberdeen was wanting £1 million off of Rangers in the summer. And my second point to you was, obviously the Kilmarnock lad, how much do you think, Kilmarnock was offered Hodgson from Rangers in a swap deal, and I think that would be a good deal for Kilmarnock. It's just to get you his point on that.
Well, clearly the one man who has to think it's a good deal is Stevie Clark. So on the basis that he hasn't agreed to anything, then he doesn't think it's a good deal. I think that clubs, as I say, clubs don't play by the Marquess of Queensbury rules. It's a war in the transfer market. So the £1 million that you ask for, if you then know in your heart of hearts it's simply unattainable, then of course you take £500,000, because that's good business. So all is fair in love, war and transfer windows.
And on the point of Kenny McLean, Alex, I think we've always got to be kind of careful when we talk about, you know,
figures,
because sometimes they're sort of thrown out there. It never got to a stage really where Aberdeen said concrete to Rangers in the summer, we want £1 million, and he's not definitely going to go to Norwich for half of that. So it's difficult to assess that situation fully, especially when it's a different set of circumstances, because he's now 6 months further down the line in his contract.
Yeah, well, the thing is, the closer you get to the window, Gordon, it depreciates, obviously. And not always, because I think that Lewin Moult, they got a wee bit more, didn't they? But that's because he's form up until January. Kenny McLean is obviously in a very good position at the moment. He's got 4 months before he can sign a pre-contract with anyone. I would be surprised if anybody in their right mind wanting an offer of £1 million at the moment because of the circumstances. So I think it's one that Rangers will probably have monitored. But with the actual players that have come in, the players that they've identified in Doherty and Jones, I wouldn't imagine that Kenny McLean would be in their forefront at the moment.
Right, okay. I'll let you have your moment now. Give me some of your answers. We're looking for the 13 managers who've won the Scottish Cup since the year 2000.
To the four that we gave you, McLeish, O'Neill, Hughes, Rogers, you can add Neil Lennon.
You can.
Dick Advocaat?
Not since... Yes.
Ronnie Dyler?
No, never won the Scottish Cup.
Tommy Wright?
Mm-hmm.
And the one that's killing me is the Hearts manager who beat Hibs 5-1. Who was that, Alex?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a couple of minutes to think about it. We'll get the answers to that full-time teaser, and we're going to look closely at the Lanarkshire Derby after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. These two have been really racking their brains for this full-time teaser. It was sent in by Dale Handley. And whilst we're on the subject, folks, you know we're always looking for your teasers. We love to keep them coming. So send them in fulltime@clyde1.com. That's fulltime@clyde1.com. We're looking for the 13 managers who've won the Scottish Cup since the year 2000. What else have you got for me?
I'll give you two and Alec will give you another two. I'll give you Paolo Sergio is the man who won this cup for Hearts.
I like that, well done.
And Gordon Strachan won it for Celtic.
Mm-hmm. An easier one. Alex, what you got?
I've got Walter Smith and Alan Stubbs.
Okay, so what are we looking at? Two to go, your list high in with mine, two to go.
Yep, and the other name I forgot was Debs. I was supposed to say hello to Debs because Debs on social media
today. What
kind
of story is this? You're full of stories tonight.
Debs on social media told me that she listened to Super Scoreboard when she was expecting her child because it put her to sleep. I don't know whether that's a good thing or
it has been said we have that effect on people. Was it you in particular? Have you got a relaxing voice?
She said that. I think I soothed and smoothed the way for Debs.
This might explain the tweet I've had in from John Boy, who says, "Gordon, remind Hugh about a mention for my missus." And I got a bit worried. I didn't really know what that was all about. I didn't want to get involved, but Hugh has cleared it up.
Anyway, Debs, there you are. Next time you want your luggage carried through, I'm your man.
Absolutely not. See some of the images I've been sent on Twitter on the back of that story.
Brilliant.
Let me tell you, some are not for
consumption
on a PG programme like this one. Let me tell you that.
Too short then.
Yes.
Are they from out with Glasgow?
Don't worry about that. We'll get to that. Right. You'll figure them out. Stephen Robinson, let's hear from him, because he hopes there will be no repeat of the ugly scenes following the end of the last Lanarkshire derby when Hamilton Accies visit again tomorrow, this time in the cup. Of course, if you cast your mind back a couple of weeks, it was Peter Hartley sent off after the final whistle. It was a 3-1 defeat as well on the pitch for Stephen Robinson's side, but he says this time their only focus is on progressing in the competition.
We don't want that to happen, if we're being honest. Do you know what I mean? That's something we don't want to see. You know, it's cost Peter 2 games, so we're not happy with that at all. But he'll learn his lesson from that, and we've dealt with that internally. But, you know, it's a derby that we want to win. You know, in the second half, I thought we let ourselves down. We weren't the team that, you know, we have been. We lacked a little bit of energy, and we didn't take our chances in the first half. So it's we're looking forward to the game. We'll make sure it's a really competitive game. Try and get the fans back on board again in the first couple of minutes of the game, and, you know, really take the game to Hamilton. it raised the players' profiles and it raised the club's profile again. And what it does, it helps you attract footballers. You know, when we're going to speak to Nadir and we're speaking to Curtis, we're speaking to Tom, you know, we've just been in a cup final. You know, we're in the top six for the vast majority of the first half of the season. And we aim to do that again, you know, and you're gonna have to go and beat teams like Hamilton if you're gonna get there.
That's going to be a fascinating one, Hugh Keevans. Very little separates them in the league, so it goes without saying it should, on paper, be a close one. You've got the added aspect of Greg Docherty, who missed Hamilton training today. That got tongues wagging that this is because he's on his way to complete a move to Rangers, which may well happen, but we also understand there's a slight injury there as well. So it doesn't look like he's going to be involved in that one, and that's definitely one to keep your eye on tomorrow.
Yeah, Stephen Robinson touched on it there. When Motherwell got to the League Cup final against Celtic, beating Aberdeen and Rangers along the way, it heightens the club's profile. If you're going to a player in England who's got scant knowledge of Scottish football other than Celtic and Rangers, then if he sees Motherwell in a cup final, then that gets his attention. So it's important. The only other thing I would say about this match, I am quite sure it'll be blood and thunder. All the traditional aspects of that Lanarkshire derby. But you really can have these occasions without the mayhem that went on the last time. It was over the top, and the players do have a responsibility. We understand that emotions run high in a deal like that, but there is a line that was crossed the last time.
It's actually a really big game for Motherwell, Gordon, on
the
back
form
of, yeah, absolutely. I've just looked at it now. I think it's 1-1 and 12, but on the back of losing 3-1 in the melee that Hugh just touched upon there. If they could manage to get that, that breaks that cycle. But if you lose to your nearest rivals, you know, going into a cup tie and then going into the league form, it doesn't bode well.
I mean, it's hard to go through all these fixtures. There are so many, but Jim Duffy, friend of the show, his team in action, Morton against Dunfermline. So again, when you're looking at fixtures, Hugh, where there are not much between the sides, well, that certainly falls into that category, doesn't it?
One of the things that startled me when I was away to pick up a newspaper and find out that Falkirk had defeated Dundee United by 6 goals to 1. So it's unpredictable. And that would apply to the Morton match as well. As you said earlier, Gordon, this is your chance to dream. You can dream of a cup final appearance, but I just think that reality will take over and you'll find that the last four will be, in all probability, Celtic, Rangers, Aberdeen and Hibs, or Hearts. You know, so this is the time to dream, but the dream won't last long.
David is in Coatbridge. Hi, David.
Hi, Gordon. How are you doing, pal?
Not too bad. How are you?
Aye, not bad. It's kind of an English football hang right enough.
Okay.
I know how you, Stevie Fisco Bride doesn't like school.
Oh, he does not. You're going to be in trouble if we. Let's keep it general.
Right, but it was the Chelsea Norwich game. Know how this new technology that's coming in?
VAR.
Aye, and the goal line technology and all that. And welcome back to Mr. Keevans as well. Nice to hear him back.
Very kind. Thank
you. I don't think we should have that in Scotland, in Scottish football. Clearly, it doesn't work. I mean, that wee boy, that Valium, he was about to pull the trigger and to get the legs pulled away from him. That big closer boy. I mean, it's a stonewall penalty. They've got four officials on the park. They've got this VAR, and they still can't recognise it's a stonewall penalty. I thought the wee boy was going to burst into tears. I even get booked for diving. I think it's ridiculous.
The only thing I would ask you, David, and I know that incident got a lot of attention. Do you not think it's a bit early to write it off completely? Because it's early stages, I'm sure, still trying to... And what we need to appreciate is that we'll never get perfection, because it's always a subjective matter. We're never going to get perfection. But is it not worth giving it just a bit more of a chance?
No, because it costs too much money. And who's going to pay for it? Who's going to pay for all this goal-lighting technology? I know Neil Lennon went off his head quite rightly when Habs got a perfectly good goal chalk. Well, never get the goal. And the goal line technology would
fix that.
But who's going to pay for it?
It's going to be expensive for us. We know that. Yeah. But let's talk about VAR, because goal line technology is a bit different.
I have to say, I'm very much for it, because he just touched upon the Hibs Hearts. You don't know if they're going to go in and win the game, Gordon, but clearly you can actually see it. And he's 60, 70 yards away from that, Neil Lennon. He was irate, and rightly so. They are the decisions that you actually want to get wrong. And if you can facilitate that, Gordon, and get the decisions right, then for me, it actually improves the game, because it's an entertaining business. and you want to get goals, and to miss a goal like that, and you, and he's already touched upon the officials at the game, to all miss it, then I think if you can get that opportunity
and
to do that.
David, you mentioned an example where perhaps it didn't work, but what about, was it, I think it was it the night previously when Leicester got the goal correctly awarded, which had been ruled out for offside? So I know the way we work, I know we remember the ones that didn't go the way we thought they should, but on that occasion VAR did work, so is that not to be celebrated?
I would agree with that one, definitely. But the thing is, who's going to pay for it?
Oh, listen, we know that. Yeah, that's going to be a big question for us up here.
That's for football to determine how we pay for it. But what I would say to you is, the naked eye is no longer good enough, because television is making a fool of referees who, through no fault of their own, they're simply human beings, and the naked eye sometimes is not enough. And even last weekend when Nottingham Forest beat Arsenal, clearly there were two touches of the ball at the penalty kick, but there were several people commentating.
Someone
on the
was
match.
Watching the football in his holidays.
Yes, yes. several people looked at it and came up with different opinions. So the naked eye is not enough, and anything that gives the referees a chance is to be applauded, I think. But the caller's absolutely right, it will cost, and it's up to football. But in the meantime, miscarriages of justice are taking place, and on a regular basis.
David, if you don't mind me bringing it back to tomorrow's football very quickly, you're a Celtic fan, how do you see that one going against Brechin?
Well, with all due respect to Brechin, I expect Celtic to rattle them, maybe about 6 or 7 nothing. But I don't mean any disrespect to Brechin, but I sometimes go to the games and I have them up here and that, you know, so
David's line is just breaking up ever so slightly. We got the gist. He thinks that it's going to be 6-0 to Celtic.
Yeah. Listen, it should be.
But well, we heard David from Ladbrokes, didn't we? If you put £40 on Celtic, you'll only get £1 back.
To be
responsibly
perfectly blunt about it, Celtic and Rangers, I'm working on the assumption that Fraserburgh against Rangers goes on. Celtic and Rangers should both be capable of scoring at least a handful of goals against the sides they're playing.
Right, we've got two answers left on the teaser. The 13 managers
I've
since 2000 who've won the Scottish Cup.
Peter Houston.
Houston, that's what I was
going to say. Is that the one? Yes.
Oh, I could never have looked Peter in the eye if I hadn't got that.
Well, you've got one more to get. So you better hurry up, because as you can hear, we're almost out of time.
Give us a hint then.
Hearts. You won it twice in that period, remember?
Oh,
so you've already given
Gretna on penalties.
You were very happy with your Paulo Sergio shout, but what about the other guy?
Is it Burley?
No. He's from, he's got a bit more of an exotic sounding name.
Shambalaslo.
Than Craig Burley, George Burley. Nope. He's Lithuanian. You might not be surprised to hear. You've only got about 15 seconds, so.
You need to tell us.
Oh, come on. Lithuanian. His initials are V-I. We could extend this phone in until midnight and Hugh Keevans would not get this. Is this the sunshine? Is this what it's done to your brain?
What, is Alec Ray not here?
No, it's your fault.
It's your
Everything's
either.
Your fault. Valdas Ivanauskas. We're out of time, I'm sorry. Valdas Ivanauskas. Thanks to Alex Ray and Hugh Keevans. We're back 2 o'clock till 6 tomorrow. All the action from the Scottish Cup.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly.